day that you've given to us here. We thank you for the breath of life. Thank you, Father, for this day that you've made. You said in your word, this is the day you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I think that's something, Father, that we all just need to learn each day more, Father, about rejoicing in the day that you've given to us, rejoicing in just everything that you've given to us, and just following you more in your footsteps. We thank you, Father, for your word and for your truths of it. We just ask now, Lord, that you could just help us this day. We ask for your guidance and for your direction. We need your help. We need you to help us here, Father. We need your spirit to just to teach us, to guide and direct us, keep our minds clear of the many aspects that's going on right now, even this day, and that we could just be open to your spirit to teach us and learn the things that you want us to learn from you. We thank you, Father, for it. We praise you, Father, for it. We just ask you to do that. Be with the service to follow and teach us the things that need to be taught there also, there, Father. We need to get closer to you, and we want to, Father, and so teach us these things. We praise you for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. We've been going over, we're starting to go over seven things that a good mother is going to do. And the first one is love your children was the started out. And we're just trying to get to that there, get to the finished part of it here, and we'll do that right now. We've gone through what is love, how do you love? You play games with them, you counsel them, you praise them, which we're going to hit up more here about that. You discipline, and the last one here is, do not get bitter with your children. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Paul here, he's teaching some things here concerning anger and things like that. And as he goes over this here, just let me read a couple things here before I get into 31 and 32. I got to hit this up because he puts some good stuff out here. In verse 22, he says that you put off the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. You know, if you want to know somebody that is really saved, as someone that's following after Christ, they're not going to have the communication part like they had before. And I've met some of these people already. And I've talked with them. And some of the corrupt communication that's come out of their mouth, something has not happened yet in their life. And he says, put it off. Same way here in verse 29. He says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Let no communication proceed out of your mouth, but that it edifies. It edifies the person that you're talking to. It gives you something to think about. He says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. He says, what's to be put away from you? Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. So, you know, when your child does some things that you don't want them to do, be careful with your bitterness. You know, sometimes I understand you're doing something and then all of a sudden something comes up. I'll give you an example. I think I gave you this example before. But in our shower, we have their shells above up here. And my wife keeps all kinds of stuff. Don't even ask me what's up there. I don't even want to know. But she keeps stuff up there. But then there's like a seat down below, and she keeps my shampoo down there. Her stuff's always up above, and my stuff's down there. Of course, I think she may use this one too. I don't know. But anyhow, we have 2 3-year-olds. That like to go play in the shower. And what they do is they go in there it wasn't too long ago that they went in there and they got into that shampoo. And they were putting it all over themselves. And one of them comes out saying to my, was it to you or to everybody that was it to you? She comes out and says, Mason put shampoo all over me. Well, the funny part about it is, both of them had the shampoo all over them. The only thing is, she got it in her mouth. So my wife puts it up all the time. Now, is that something to get bitter about? I mean, see, it's our grandchildren now. We laugh. Mom and Dad, sometimes, you know, they don't laugh. I mean, our kids now always say to us, to myself or her, they'll say, you'd have never left us get away with something like that. But it's our grandkids right now, you know. They can get away with stuff like that. It's no problem with us. Now, Mom and Dad, it's a different story. But, you know, don't get bitter about it. If your kid is helping you put scouring powder all over the floor or all over your rug, don't get bitter at them for it. Just forgive and forget. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I understand sometimes you mothers, you know, you're very busy, you're doing something, and then all of a sudden there is one big mess. I mean, one big mess. And Natalie's just sitting there, and I know what's going through her mind. I'm sure I do. But anyhow, that's just one big mess, you know. And, you know, sometimes you just blow up, you know. You get bitter about it. You get angry about it. Go sit in your room, or go do this or go do that, you know. But, you know, don't get bitter at them. They're children. They do these kind of things. And you just, you know, it's just one of them things that you shouldn't do, is get bitter with them for different, some different aspects. Maybe there's times where, you know, you need to show them, you know, your authority, but, you know, watch your bitterness, watch your anger, you know, watch these kind of things, you know. To love your children, you know, that's just one of the things that goes along. Now, you got any questions or comments on any of them? Because we're going to the second one here of these seven. That was the first one. Okay. All right, the second one here is, and we've gone over this a little bit before, but praise your children. Why do you think you should praise your children? You think that's something that's important? Is that something important? Yes. Go ahead. Anybody else on that before I say something? Go ahead, Mrs. Conner. Mm-hmm. Building them up is something good. That is good for your children, to build them up. I mean, we got some old guys at work now. I got to watch myself, because a lot of times I'm the oldest one there. But anyhow, we got some guys at work that, you know, even if they do something, you know, when I'm working with them, if they do something that's, you know, I'll give them the thumbs up. You know, if they're in a machine or anything like that there, I give them a thumbs up. And they like that. You know, they like that. They like that praise. Hey, I did a good job, you know. And that comes out later in life, too. So it does, you know. If you start praising your children now, later on in life, that comes out, that they want to do a good job. I just came from up above, if anybody knows, I mean, in the boondocks, we're getting close to the New York border, where we were working, but above Wilcox. And but anyhow, there's two new kids there, young kids. And there's times where whenever they hire, there's new recruits, it's a mess. I mean, it's a mess. These young kids today are not taught nothing. But these two guys here, somebody took some time with them. Now, the one of them was one of the bosses that was there. And but the other one, his dad used to be a boss there, but he's not there anymore. These two kids worked their tail off. And I gave them a thumbs up on that, because you cannot find kids today that would work like that. I mean, just in the past week and a half, we poured over 500 yards of concrete. And I'm telling you, everybody's got to be doing your job if you're going to pour that kind of concrete. We wanted out of there, and we made our minds up. We got together, and we said, we're getting out of here. We're going to bust our tails. And these two kids, buddy, I'm not kidding you, they helped whatever they could do. It didn't matter what it was. Tie rebar, help us pound pins, set forms, pour concrete. They were in it all. And I mean, somebody, and the one kid I was talking about, which I want to get into, we'll get into later on about, he said, man, oh man, he says, I'm scared of my dad. I feared him. Dad was teaching him something. There's no doubt about it. But we'll get into that later on. But anyhow, you know, praising somebody, you know, praising your children, it's definitely worth it. Now, if we would just do like Paul did and like Christ did. First of all, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Before Paul rebuked the people, he praised them. He lifted them up. He says in 1 Corinthians 1:4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. So see there, he builds them up first. He kind of praises them. But then look at verse 11. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now, see, he's bringing it out. There's something going on amongst you people, he's saying, and he says there's some contentions among you. But see, before he rebuked them, he praised them. I think there's a lesson to be taught there, you know, in with children, you know. Before you rebuke them, praise them. Look at Jesus, what he did. Pastor's going over this. I don't know where he's at. I haven't been around. But in Revelation chapter 2, these churches. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation 2:2. Jesus says, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. So he says, I know your works, you know. And it's something that's good there. But he says in verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. He lifts them up before he rebukes them. Look at verse 9. I know thy works and the tribulation and the poverty. Some of these must have been going through tribulation. Some of them must have had, you know, some tough times here, it looks like. But thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. So he knows that. He knows that. He knows that they are that. But he says, in verse 10, fear not of those things which thou hast suffered. Behold, the devil cast some of you into prison, that they may be tried. And ye have tribulation 10 days, and be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He tells them, do this, and I'll give you a crown of life, you see. I'll do that for you. I know your works. I know what you did. But he says, now, follow what I'm telling you, and you'll get the crown of life. Let me see. Yes. Verse 13. I know thy works, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days whereupon Antipas, my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. See, so he kind of builds them up. He says, I know your works. But look what he says in verse 14. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat the sacrifices of idol, and to commit fornication. So he says, you know, he kind of builds them up, and then he kind of rebukes them. Verse 19. He says, I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat sacrifices unto idols. So he says these things. Chapter 3, another place. Verse 1 there. And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. But he says in verse 3, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt watch, I will come as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I shall come. So you better be prepared, he's telling them. You better be prepared. You better know what's going on. You better be doing what you're supposed to be doing, because I'm going to come as a thief. Just like a thief that comes in the night, and you know not when these things happen and take place. Verse 8, he says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength. Thou hast kept my word, and thou hast not denied my name. And then he goes on there, and I think it's in verse 10 that he says, because thou hast... Yeah, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, and take thy crown. So he says, be prepared, you know. Keep prepared. Be prepared at all times. But he says he knows their works. And the last one there, he says, verse 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So, you know, sometimes, you know, we as parents, we don't think about praising our children before we rebuke them. We just jump to conclusions right away because something has happened. We're busy. We're doing our thing. But, you know, we need to praise our children. Praise our children. Paul did this. Jesus did this. And it's not flattery. There's nothing flattery about it. It's encouragement. You need to encourage your children. And this encouragement, you know, draws them to you. They respect you more. They look for these things, for this praise, you know. They look for that. They'll try to please you. Just like we need to be pleasing the Lord. Your children try to please you when you build them up instead of criticize them and knock them down. What was that thought all about there, Corb? Huh? So, you know, you have these things. You know, you need to praise your children. It's something that's good. You know, like I say, it's something that's good. Questions or comments on that? Praising your children. Okay, we'll go to the third thing here then that they have down here as the seven things. Enjoy your children. Enjoy your children. Psalm 127. What's Psalm 127 say, Corb? You know it. I know you do. Lo, verse 3. Children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. What's heritage there mean? What do you think heritage means? It says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." Go ahead, Ron.
Well, if you take the word, let's look a little bit different context. We inherit things from our parents or from relatives or from anybody really that leaves something to us, and the heritage of God is left to us, our offspring. It's a blessing from Him. We wouldn't have it if He didn't give it to us.
Okay. There you said the right words I was looking for. It's from Him. It's His heritage. Heritage, the saints or people of God are called His heritage as being claimed by Him and the objects of His special care. 1 Peter 5, 3 says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. It's God's heritage. Children come from God. He gives them to you. You can't convince this world out here today that they come from God. They think it just comes from reproduction of the man and the wife, the woman. But children come from God. That soul of that child, I believe, comes from God. He puts it there. You know, when that conception comes, He puts that soul there. He knows who this child is and who this child will be. And that's hard for some people to understand that. But I believe that He does that. And when they start talking about this here killing babies and things like that there, they do not understand what they are doing. It's just like killing a human being like you and I is exactly what it is. Because it comes from God. We came from God. He knows who I am. He knows who you are. He knows what will happen to you. He knows all about you. He knows it. It's a heritage. It's that fruit of that womb, He says. It's the fruit of that womb. He wants us to enjoy our children. They're a gift from God. Children are a gift from God. And we need to be grateful for them. You need to be cheerful mothers. Mothers, your children are God's greatest gift apart from your Savior and your husband. Never look on them as a burden. Always see them as a blessing. Wow. If we could just do that, look at them as a blessing. Sometimes, I mean, I had three. Some of you have more. Them three sometimes, I thought, whoo, I'm telling you, but I can't believe that some of them, you that have more, and there's nothing the matter with having more, because He says here, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies at the gate. Their heritage, you know, the more the better. As far as it goes, you know, that have as many as you want. You know, we had what we thought we wanted, that we could handle, and it's fine to have children. Children are a blessing. They're a blessing. Pastor, I hope that Elizabeth starts having your grandchildren, and you just have them one right after the other. 10 of them in a row or something like that there. You'll love it. I'm telling you, you'll love it. Maybe she won't, but you will. But they are. Grandchildren, I mean, we love our grandchildren. Whenever everybody gets together, which will be happening this week once again, we were over at Danny's last night, and everybody was there, and they were ripping around the rooms and stuff, and they were saying about this. I said, "This is nothing. You need to come to our house whenever all the ours are there. Then you'll find out what ripping and tearing and craziness and everything else, and just boop, you know, it just goes all over the place." But, you know, we enjoy it for that time. But, no, it's a blessing. Children are a blessing. Children are a blessing. Corbin, that you can't see it now, but later on when your children get bigger, they go out here on their own, they get married, and all them grandkids. Can you imagine all them grandkids you guys are going to have? What a great time. What a great time you're going to have. You'll be able to really enjoy them then, you know. That'll be just something else, I'm telling you. It's a blessing. But yes, children are a blessing. And God wants us to enjoy them. It's a gift that he gives to us, you know, that he gives us to give, you know, that he gives to us. You know, they are a blessing. Some think that they're a burden. I heard somebody say, not recently, that I don't want to be a home mom. I don't want to be a home mom. But yet, why would you want to pay somebody else to take care of your children while you go out and work? That's stupid, as far as I care, you know. I don't want to be a home mom. Well, that's stupid. Why'd you even have children in the first place? Forget about it. You know, if you don't want to consider them as a blessing and you want somebody else to raise your children, and then your children grow up and you say, I don't understand what happened. You know, they turn out to be just opposite of what you want them to be. What do you expect? You know, what do you expect when you let somebody else take care of them? So, you know, enjoy your children. God wants you to enjoy them. They're a blessing to you. Also, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6 says, children's children are a crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. So there he's just pushing it off to generation after generation after generation. You know, children are a blessing. Children are a blessing, you know. So, you know, enjoy your children. Enjoy your children while you have them, while they're there. Let me ask you a question. Now, I want you to think about this a little bit. I got to thinking about this here, and I see an advertisement now and again of this here Jude's Hospital, where they take in children. What if your child had cancer? What if your child has to go through something like that? You know, they're supposed to be a blessing to you. You are to enjoy them. But there they are going through a trial, a test, and a tribulation along with you. You know, that's not an easy thing to do. That's not an easy thing to see one of your children die. It is not. It's nothing to go through. So enjoy your children. Let it be a blessing to let them be a blessing to you. Even though they throw that they're scouring powder all over the floor and, you know, things like that there. Or they take the shampoo and put it all over themselves and they think it's funny until one of them can't take it anymore and she gets it in her mouth. But anyhow, they're a blessing. They're a blessing, you know. And, you know, and to see children go through some of the situations, you know, that's where these other countries. Why do you think that these Islamists and stuff like that hide themselves around women and children? They know that we won't do nothing to them. They know that we won't, because we think more of women and children than we do with what they do. You know, they have no heart. They have nothing. They say they do, but they don't. They have nothing whatsoever. They could care less. When you see them bringing their children up with AK-47s in their hands and teaching them how to cut off somebody's head, I mean, that's something. That's what they're teaching their children. That's what for blessing that they think that their children are, to come out here to kill you and I. That's what they do. That's the whole thing that they do. They don't enjoy their children whatsoever. They just want to have them to be martyrs. And they feed them with all kinds of garbage all the time. That's how they bring their children up. That's something for you to think about, what they do with their children. How would you like to see, Corb, how would you like to see all your boys walking around here right now at their age with an AK-47 in their hand? You know. Yeah. Yeah. But they're being taught, you know, to kill somebody, you know. Or a big machete or a big knife in their hand, teaching them how to cut off somebody's head and then post it on websites and stuff like that. See, that's what they do. There's no enjoyment there whatsoever. They don't think nothing of their children. There's no blessings. Okay, so questions or comments on that one? Good. We're moving right along. Number four. This is something, this is one I believe that is kind of important for you. Teach your children the Bible is their textbook. The Bible is their textbook. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Paul says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." He's saying to Timothy that, you know, thou hast known from the holy scriptures from a child. You think maybe that we ought to teach our children when they're young the Bible? Where do you think Timothy learned this? And you know the answer. Where did he learn it? Anybody?
Mother and grandmother.
Mother and grandmother. 2 Timothy chapter 1. He says, let me start in verse 3. "I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day." He's saying this about Timothy. "Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also." So he learned it. He learned it. He had to be taught it. He had to be trained, you know, to learn scriptures. To learn scriptures. They taught him that. The Bible doesn't say nothing about his dad teaching him anything. I don't believe that he, and I think I heard the pastor say this already too, that I don't think that his dad had anything to do with religion. I don't think he had anything to do with it. It was his mother and his grandmother that taught him, you know, that taught him these things. His dad had nothing to do with it, which was, you know, that's not a good thing either. But at least he had a grandmother and a mother that thought something of him, that they loved him, that they thought he was a blessing, and taught him the Word of God. Teach him the Word of God. Now, how are you supposed to teach him? What do you think? How are you supposed to teach your children the Word of God? Ron.
First, you should know it yourself.
You know, that's one of my things that when we get into the children, that I'm going to hit very hard. I'm going to come down on all parents. The pastor came down on me on it. And that was through him teaching here one night and Wednesday night, and he didn't even know it. But I went to him and I told him about it. And I'm gonna teach you what I learned from it. You better know, just like you said there. If you want to teach your children anything, you better be doing it yourself right first. You better be doing it first. It all starts with you. You can't blame it on your children. Because if you're not doing, it's not that, don't do as I do as I say. It's none of that mentality whatsoever, so it's not. Well, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 6 and 7, "And these words which I command thee this day," command, did you hear that? He says, "I command thee this day, shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." You see when you should be teaching your children the Word of God? Constantly. Constantly. Get it dwelt in their heads now. Because when they become teenagers and want to fight against you and don't know the Word of God, then you try to teach it to them then, they're not going to listen to you. You got to get them now. And that's why he says, And this is something that we're going to be getting into when we get into the children, especially this here, Deuteronomy, Ephesians, and Colossians all talk about this. So you got to God commands us to teach our children all day long. His word that we're to be teaching them. And it's something good to have your kids in a good Christian school or a good homeschool programming that teaches the Word of God. Most of you got a homeschool program, I'm hoping and praying that you're teaching them the Word of God. It's not only ABCs, 1, 2, 3, and all this stuff, it's the Word of God. Get the Word of God in them. Dwell it in them. Make them learn more verses. Teach them these things. It's just something that you have to do. You know, you should do. If you believe the Bible, you believe what the Word of God says, then dwell it in them. It's better than dwelling in them a AK-47 or how I should cut off this person's head or something like that. It's certainly a lot better. You know. So teach them the Word of God. Teach them. God commands it all day long. And I know that's difficult. I know that's difficult with you. We started off, I know we taught Chad and Nathan, you know, when they go, we did it more when at bedtime. And Chad used to be able to bam, 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 knock them off, just like that there. Nathan didn't do a bad job either. But, you know, they learned those, they were learning something. That's where I can't, and I'm glad Chad's not here today. I shouldn't say that, but I'm glad he's not because I want to brag upon him a little bit. When you tell him a song up here, where do you think he knows that, you know, he knows that song, he knows that number? It's because later, early in his stage of life, we were teaching him the Word of God, and he knows. Right now, there's lots of times I hear him sit back there and say, the pastor asks a question, and he'll say the verse just like out there. He don't say it real loud that everybody can hear it, but he'll say it because he knowed it. Now, don't give us all the credit. You know, God got the credit for it because he's the one that give him that mind to learn those kind of things. Him and Nathan both are very good at figures, math figures and stuff. We were at a situation down in West Virginia where this white hat that's supposed to be a supervisor comes in there and he's figuring out some concrete and figuring out, you know, how things are supposed to be. He's got this calculator, and he's punching this stuff in, and Nathan, I seen him writing over there with a pencil. And Nathan gives him the answer before he even had it done with the computer, or with the adding machine and stuff there that he had. You know, he was doing this, and Nathan already, he snapped it off to him, and the guy says, no, that's not right. He says, well, check it out. And so he checked it out again. He says, oh, yeah, you are right. You know, God gives them that mind, you know, but you've got to teach, you've got to have them learn it early in life. And you know, teach them God's word early in life. Start early in life that they can learn God's word, you know, and it just carries through. Why do you think that he says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it? It's training process. You got to train them the right way, you know, if you want them to do that. Okay. Questions or comments? Go ahead.
If any of you have read anything about classical education, there are different stages of learning. And young children, the easiest way for them to learn is memorization. It's like God has gifted those young children with that ability above all else to prepare them for what's later in life.
Mm-hmm. That's something neat, you know, that God had done that, you know, that has done that to children. And we don't, you know, a lot of times we don't even realize that. Proverbs 8:32 says, now therefore hearken unto me, O children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Blessed are they that keep my ways, he says. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. This next one here I want to get into is teach your children the fear of God. I just happened to be going over something this morning, and I read what the fear of God is. And I really was surprised, but I'm going to let you stand there on that right now. Any questions or comments on anything else? Go ahead, Mrs. Gore. Yes, ma'am.
And I got to the place where I didn't enjoy my children. And sometimes mom need a break. And most of you people here have families to help you do that. But you do. You need an opportunity, and they need an opportunity too, because I think, you know, it's hard to leave those kids, but you come back refreshed sometimes, and we need that.
I'm glad you said that. Some of you older people in here now that don't have children, let me just give you a little bit of encouragement. You want to help these younger ones out? Go to them some night and say, I'm taking care of your kids, just take off. Go do your thing. Go do whatever you want to do. If you want to help out a little bit. And that's something that will encourage them, and just like Mrs. Cardner there says, they need to just get away from it, just for even a few hours. A few hours will help out, will help them, you know. And then they come back and they got to go through it, you know, once again. So they know. But it's still, it just, my wife, you ask my wife, she knows what it's like. You need a break. You need a break. Everybody needs a break, you know. And that's something that I do want to encourage. That was something I was going to get into with the children when we get into that. But that's good. I'm glad you brought that up. You know, if you want to help something, help them out here a little bit, just call them up and say, listen, I'm going to come down. I'm going to take care of your children. I want you to go out someplace. Just go do whatever you want to do. If you want to take your wife out to eat, or if you want to go shopping, or just walk around the mall, or anything like that there, anything, whatever you want to do, you go do it. Get a break. Get away from your children. And so, you know, it's something that you can do, that you can help that way. I'm just putting that into your minds a little bit, give you a little bit of encouragement for that. Anything else? Thank you. That was good. I like that. Lord, I thank and praise you for this time. I thank you for this day. I thank you for the different things here, Father, that you say in your word for encouragement to help with our children and how we can help one another out. We praise you, Father, for just all the many aspects here, Father, of your word and for the living things of it, Father. And I'm saying living, Father, because it is living. Your word is living. And we praise you for it. God, and direct us throughout this day and everything that's taking place here today, Father. We just ask now that we wouldn't be overrun with anything, but, Lord, we would just have a great time and a blessed time as we praise you and as we celebrate. And I know this is just our time of the year, Father, that we celebrate your birthday. And we just ask that we would just be mindful of that at all times. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.